Chapter 20. Fearson broke me. Back again, back to my fourth life, and always we seem to return here, even when I try not to, back to kneeling at his feet, sobbing into his hand, begging him to make it stop. Please, please, God, make it stop. He broke me. I was broken, and it was a relief. I became an automaton, reciting newspaper headlines and stories I had seen, word by word, day by day, reaching back across the lives which had gone before. Sometimes I'd drift into the languages of my travels, mixing reports of massacres and rulers overthrown with the sayings of the Buddha or little pieces of Shinto dogma. Fearson never stopped or corrected me, but sat back while the tape recorder clicked on, two great fat wheels spinning, which seemed to require changing every 20 minutes. He had mastered carrot and stick. Always he stood by me for the carrot and was never there at the stick, so that in my mind, though I knew this was precisely what he aimed to achieve, Fearson became something of a golden angel, bringing with him warmth and relief from pain. I told him everything. My perfect memory now became a perfect curse, until 3 days later, she came. I sensed, somewhere through the drugs and the exhaustion, her arrival as a commotion in the hall. Then an imperious voice rang out, "For goodness sake!" I was in the smaller of the two lounges, sitting hunched by the tape recorder as I always was, intoning dull recollections of the assassination attempt on President Reagan. She burst into the room in a flurry of long, almost medieval sleeves, her curly grey hair bouncing on her head like a creature living unto its own laws, the rouge on her face pressed deep into the canyons of her skin, her heavily ringed fingers flashing as she twisted them in the air. "You!" she barked at Fearson, who instinctively switched off the record. "Out!" "Who the hell are—" She cut him off with a single imperious gesture of her wrist, snapping, "Call your control, you ghastly little man! Dear me, what have you been doing? Don't you realize how useless this all is now?" He opened his mouth to speak, and again was stopped short. "Buzz, buzz, buzz! Trot off, make your telephone calls!" Perhaps seeing that reasonable communication was not a likely outcome here, a scowl spread across his face, and he strode from the room, slamming the door petulantly behind him. The woman sat down opposite me and rather distractedly prodded a few buttons on the tape machine, chuckling at its size and response. I kept my eyes down on the floor, the fixed hunch of all frightened men awaiting retribution, unable to hope.
"Well, what a terrible little pickle," she said at last. "You look quite the state. I'm Virginia, if you're wondering, which I can see you are. Yes, you are, aren't you?"
She addressed me as one might speak to a frightened kitten, and the surprise, more than anything else, made me glance up towards her, taking in a brief impression of beaded bracelets and giant necklace that hung down almost to her navel. She leaned forward on her cupped hands, looked me in the eye, and held the gaze.
"Cronus Club," she said at last. "I am Harry August. On 26th of April, 1986, Reactor 4 went into meltdown. Help me."
I caught my breath. She had seen my ad, but so could Fearson if he'd bothered to look. So could anyone who read the personal pages of whichever newspaper Simon had printed my message in. Help or retribution? Salvation or a trap? Either way, did I care?
"You have caused us such a problem," she sighed. "It's not your fault, of course, Lambkin. I mean, look at you. Of course, entirely understandable. Such a shame. Now, when it's all over, you'll be wanting post-traumatic stress counselling, although I understand how difficult these things will be to come by. You look 50, maybe, which means you must have been born in the 20s. Ghastly. So many Freudians in the 20s, so much wanting to sleep with your mother. There's this wonderful little chap in Finchley, though, very good, very understanding, no rubbish about cigars. Failing that, I always find local priests are handy, as long as you go to them in the form of a confessional. Scares the buggery out of them sometimes, too. Now, absolutely don't.
She stabbed the table with her index finger, the little joint at the end bending backwards with the force of her determination.
don't tell yourself that just because you've been around a bit, you're not in a terrible state. You are absolutely in a terrible state, Harry dear, and the silent noble number won't get you anywhere. Now I couldn't look away from her. Was this face, this old made-up face beneath its bouncing mass of sprayed hair, salvation? Was this woman with her great dangling purple sleeves and chiffon cardigan, with her clattering pendants and expanding belly, a creature of the mysterious Cronus Club? I found it hard enough to think, let alone apply higher reason to the problem. "There's no joining fee," she explained, as if reading my thoughts. "But you are rather expected to chip in for the next generation, good form and all that. Only one rule set in stone. You can do whatever you like so long as you don't bugger it up for the next lot. So no nuking New York, please, or shooting Roosevelt, even if for experimental purposes. We just can't handle the hassle. I'm going to assume you're interested," she added to my silence, "in which case I really feel we should have another meeting." She leaned across the table. I thought she was giving me a business card, but when her hand lifted, there was instead a small penknife folded into a wooden handle. Her eyes glinted, and her voice was low. "How would 2 p.m. Trafalgar Square, July 1st, 1940, work for you?" I looked from the knife to her and back again. She understood and stood up, still smiling. "I personally favour the thigh," she explained. "A bath helps, but one must make do, mustn't one? Tra-la, Dr. August, so long and all that." So saying, she sauntered merrily away. I cut open my femoral artery that very same night and bled out in under 4 minutes. Regrettably, there wasn't an easily available bath to use at the time, but after the first 60 seconds, I didn't really notice the pain and rather savoured the mess.